Today is January 27th, 2007, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, a Mac Observer podcast. I'm Ricky Spiro.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup.
We're back to our usual format this week. We've got a great show coming up, a look at portable audio recorders in this week's product roundup. But first, let's take a look at the week's news. Jeff, go ahead and start us off.
There was news this week in the Apple stock options probe. Two federal prosecutors from the team investigating Apple Inc. have announced that they are leaving their offices in the U.S. Justice Department for law firms in the private sector. The loss of both Mr. Chris Steskall and his supervisor, Kevin Ryan, could cause delays in federal investigations while new lawyers are assigned to the cases. The announcements follow news that the Justice Department is removing several of its attorneys, and there is some debate about whether the firings were politically motivated. Meanwhile, the broader investigation has apparently proceeded at some nominal pace since U.S. lawyers recently questioned Apple CEO Steve Jobs. Investigators from the Securities and Exchange Commission and Justice Department spoke with Mr. Jobs in San Francisco the week after Macworld Expo concluded. In an independent internal investigation that Apple commissioned, information had surfaced that showed some members of the company's management team were involved in improperly backdating stock option grants. The investigation concluded that the current management, including Mr. Jobs, were not involved in any misconduct. Information about what was discussed during the interview with Mr. Jobs has not been disclosed.
All of this is to remind everyone that this process is, as they say, still underway. We know very little, hardly enough to build a context machine segment around this. So for the time being, I will read you a quick list of the things that we do know. Number one, Apple improperly backdated stock options. Number two, some people, including former Apple CFO Fred Anderson, previously a member of the board between being the CFO and now, they're already taking the fall. Number three, Apple's internal investigation is protecting the company's current upper management. Number four, we have no clear reason to believe Apple's internal investigation is misleading, deliberately or otherwise. Five, government lawyers make their name, and often they make their careers, taking down big-name public figures. Six, these probes are ostensibly intended to protect shareholder interests. Seven, investors and Wall Street analysts seem to have pretty much agreed that Steve Jobs will remain at Apple when all of this is through. And, of course, number eight, this is the one that is kind of implicit in all of the discussion that people have about this stock options probe. Investors seem to have agreed that booting Steve Jobs from Apple would actually be worse for their investment in Apple than if he stayed, even if he had knowingly defrauded Apple stockholders of tens of millions of dollars by backdating options. After all, the company had a profit of more than $1 billion last quarter. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on this, and we will holler when something new happens.
And the other bit of news from the week, two more European countries are now clamoring for Apple to open its digital rights management scheme. German and French consumer groups, and actually now a third, the Netherlands, have voiced support for the work of folks in Norway, Sweden, and Denmark who are trying to get Apple to make songs purchased from the iTunes store playable on other portable media devices. We did run a couple of articles this week with comments from various authorities from the various countries making various statements of varying intensities, all to that effect.
But what was really new this week were the comments of Apple spokesman Tom Neumeier, who said Apple is aware of the concerns we've heard from several agencies in Europe, and we're looking forward to resolving these issues as quickly as possible. There were some additional comments in there about protecting innovation and ensuring competition. And by the way, all of this should sound like something of a different tune from the previous public comment that Apple made when this first went down in its first form in the French General Assembly, Parliament, what do they call it there? I don't remember. Anyway, when all of this went down the first time around, the comment from Apple is, we are surprised, blah, 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 that France would engage in what amounts to state-sponsored piracy. Those were the operative words. So a slightly different tune.
And while you weren't looking, who but the record labels themselves started talking about selling music without digital rights management? This news developed during the Mid Music Trade Fair in Cannes, France. There are apparently reports that the record labels are seriously considering releasing some songs in unprotected formats.
This is certainly the most interesting story of the week because just about everybody in sight in this industry, the music industry, has an axe to grind on this subject. That is, whether or not music is sold with DRM, what the DRM is, who controls it, and so forth. But again, we're going to leave this for a future context machine. People say all kinds of crazy things in this industry, and we want to let this simmer for a while and see how serious the labels really are about proposals about getting rid of DRM. And if it does start to materialize, if this looks to be something more than just random conversation coming out of a trade show, then we'll take a closer look.
So that's that. Let's get into the product roundup. And this week, Ricky, I believe you're going to be telling us about some portable audio recorders.
That's right. And we actually have a handful of different products here. And I guess the first thing to do, Jeff, have you heard about any of these products? We got a list of them in front of me here, but do you know about any of these portable audio recorders?
As I recall, the Eterol R09 is the model you used when we recorded our podcast during Macworld.
Yeah, that's right. We actually, so there are three of these things that we've been testing. And the way we like to run these product roundups is we call up a bunch of different companies. We say, hey, send us the product that you have that kind of fits in this category. In this case, the category was recording audio on the road, recording straight. Our criteria was we wanted something that recorded straight to flash memory. So a solid state recorder, something that you could plug into a USB port as soon as you took your recording and download it to your computer. And so there are three products. The Eterol R09 that Jeff mentioned. There's a product made by Marantz called the PMD 660, and the Zoom H4. And the Zoom H4, Zoom is a Japanese company. They're distributing through Samson. And if you listen to some of our reviews of mics then before, you heard us talking about Samson microphones. Samson is an audio company. They're distributing the H4. So those are the three products. I guess, how do you want to do this, Jeff? Should we just kind of roll through them one by one, talk about each one?
I think that sounds like a great idea. So why not start at the top of the list and let's kick off with the Marantz.
Well, the Marantz, first of all, is PMD 660. It's the most expensive one on the list. It costs somewhere in the range of $450 to $500 when I did searches for it online.
So no more than an iPhone.
No more than an iPhone. And in fact, less if you buy it from the right places, apparently. It's also the bulkiest of the three. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. It's a really interesting product because it's tough as hell. It is absolutely made for people who need an incredibly reliable, incredibly durable piece of hardware. Fundamentally, it's not right. If you're a podcaster, if you're working at home, if you just want to record some live gigs of stuff that you're doing, it's probably not the right product, in part because it's more expensive than the other stuff and also because it's bulkier. But the people who should take a look at it, if you fall into this category, then by all means take a look at it because it's a solid piece of hardware. It's really rugged. So if you travel, particularly if you're doing interviews or you're doing stuff in the third world or developing countries, it has six spots for AA batteries, so you can get, I see there are four or six AA batteries that you need to drive it. So it's got good long battery life, and it's tough. So you can, I was pretty confident that if it got, you know, splashed with a little bit of mud, it would have kept on trucking just fine. So it's got some built-in mics, it's got a little bit built-in speaker, so you don't need anything special to listen back to your stuff, which is kind of convenient. And the other thing that's nice, if you're doing professional work where you don't have access to a computer, you can actually do some editing to the audio inside of the device. So anyway, if you fall into those categories, If you're traveling a lot, if you need to be able to edit your audio inside of the device, then take a look at the Marantz. The other thing that the Marantz does have is it has Phantom-powered jacks for what are called XLR cables, those standard mic cables. So you can record, like if you've got a mixing board and it's putting out audio on XLR cables, you can just take that high-quality audio signal and record it. The Zoom H4 actually has those ports as well, and I'll talk about those in a second. So if you fall into those categories, take a look at it. It's a cool, heavy-duty product, but I think more expensive than and bulkier than what most people are looking for.
But it would make a great professional, portable recording and editing studio.
Yeah, studio might be a little generous. You're still working on that little LCD screen, but it does work, and you can set markers in audio. Like if you record a couple different interviews and you need to set markers in your audio and have it play them out in sequence, it can do that. So it's more flexible than the editing that you're given in the other players. The editing that you're given in the other players is essentially play it back with reverb or delete it. So not nearly as much flexibility.
Although depending on the interview, totally appropriate in some cases.
Right, exactly.
Okay, great. So now let's talk about the one that I know some about, the Eterol.
Well, I'm actually kind of curious, just to give people a way to calibrate. The Eterol is the mid-priced one. It's $400. And Jeff, you've actually seen this product and used it a little bit. I'm just curious what your reaction to it was.
Well, when we used it, which would have been during the podcast we recorded at Macworld Expo, when you pulled that thing out of your pocket, I was truly blown away. I mean, the size of the device, and it just looked like to get the audio quality that you had, for some reason it needed to be bigger, but it wasn't. And it had the nice built-in stereo mics, and it looked like it had pretty good battery life because we just kept rambling and it kept going. And if you're going for a cool factor, it has that total Star Trek thing going for it, too. It looked sharp, and it performed really well, too. I was really impressed with that one.
Yeah, it is a cool product, and it's the one that, at the end of the day, I personally am most excited about. I used it to do all of the interviews that I did at Macworld. So, and the show that we did where Dave Hamilton was on, this was 2 weeks ago. It was the weekend after Macworld. When the three of us did that show, like Jeff said, we recorded that with the RO9. And last week, the three interviews that we did with Freeverse, Belkin, and Shield Zone, those I all did with the Eterol. And this is one of those audio geek things that normal people don't really care about. But it's got stereo mics. And for doing an interview, that's fantastic. Because I held it in my hand. First of all, it has very little body noise. You can hold it while you're doing an interview, and you won't get a lot of clunking sounds if you move your hand around. That's a huge win, at least for the way I use it. Yeah. And I held it so that the left mic was on my side and the right mic was on the interviewee's side. And so when we just talked, the interview ended up being in stereo, which is fantastic. And if you listen to this show, Jeff and I are in stereo as well. I'm a little bit in the left channel, and Jeff is a little in the right. It just makes it a little bit easier to hear, and particularly if you're listening to it with headphones, you kind of feel like you're standing in the middle of the conversation. It's kind of nice. So you can do that effortlessly with that Eterol. You don't need to, you know, wave a mic around. You just put the thing. You can hold it and talk. It doesn't set extremely easy. If you want to set it down on a table, it waddles a little bit because it's not a perfectly flat bottom, but you can do that too. So I was really happy with how it performed for interviews.
Yeah. Now, during the recording we did at Macworld, I remember you set it on a t-shirt someone had left on the table. We recorded in the media lounge. And for everyone that's going, oh my God, you put it on a t-shirt? Don't worry. It was one of the swag t-shirts that was given out at a booth. No one had worn it yet. But that was perfect.
Yeah, in that case, it was lying down on its side, pointed at us, and that was just so, like, if one of us tapped on the table, it wouldn't go thud, thud on the recorder. So that worked pretty well. A couple of other quick things about it. It does not have jacks for standard microphones. So it has a little what are called eighth inch, like those normal headphone jacks. And so you can attach a mic that way if it's a mic that supports that. And there are some stereo mics that do that, and there are some conventional mics that can do that, and there are some mics where you can plug an adapter on the end of them to get them in there. But it's not built, really. It's not really great if you want to hook it up to external microphones. Maybe lapel mics would work fine, but that's probably as far as I would go. And no phantom power. So if you want to hook up condenser mics or other stuff, it's not your product. But if you're doing interviews on the road, it's a small, lightweight kind of thing. It's got the same dimensions, width and height, as an iPod. And then it's a little bit thicker. Well, it's significantly thicker. It's maybe 4 or 5 times as thick as an iPod. Two AA batteries. I actually did, if you listen to last week's show, the battery did run out when I did that interview with Shane Igo from Belkin. We lost about 30 seconds of the interview at the end. But it does come, I think that one might be the only one that does not come with an AC adapter, and I'll actually check that in just a moment. But the other ones all come with AC adapters if you got to plug in.
Okay, so that leaves the Zoom H4.
Yeah. Now, again, this is one, I don't know if you remember this, Jeff, we talked about it a little while ago at the Podcast Expo. That's where I first saw this product. I'm curious if you had any reaction, if you've got any concepts. I don't know if you've looked at the images or looked at the description of the product at all, but do you have any sense of what it's like?
I remember looking at the pictures after you initially told me about it, and it was one of those products where I went, oh, okay, but honestly, my eye gets drawn back to the Etterol recorder.
Yeah, and I gotta say, after using it for a while, it really is. Oh, and by the way, the RO9 does come with an AC adapter. I was worried that it doesn't, but I'm looking back in the box, and it does, in fact, have an AC adapter. So all of them come with AC adapters. So props to all of these people. Anyway. the thing about the Zoom that's really nice, Zoom.
I have to interrupt. I just remembered. This is the one that looks totally Trek, isn't it?
Yes, this one does look like a kind of, well, everyone that sees it says, oh, that looks like a taser.
Yes, that too.
There are a couple of really cool things about it. First of all, the price is awesome. It's somewhere between $250 and $300. So it is by far the least expensive that I know of products of this kind. That's the first thing. Second thing is it has phantom-powered combo jacks on it. So it's not just XLR things. You can also put in those quarter-inch like instrument cable plugs. So you can plug anything into it and record it, whether it's a mic, a condenser mic, a dynamic mic. You can put in little mics, whatever. You can run any kind of audio signal you want into it. That's a big win as well. And this is probably the sweetest thing about it. You can plug in, it's the only one of the three that does this. If you plug it in to, if you plug in the USB cable, so it's connected to your computer, you can tell it to run in audio interface mode. So you can actually use those two combo jacks on it, or the built-in mics, as an audio interface for your computer.
So this sounds like, overall, the most versatile of the products.
Yeah, and that's a huge win in the sense that right now, standing at my Mac Pro and our normal recording rig where we do this, I have a product made by M Audio called the FireWire 410, and it's got a couple of audio inputs on the front that I run my mic into, and that's how I get my mic signal into my computer. So if you've never gone through this process before, it's a big win, the idea that you can bring along a little portable device that's battery-powered if it needs to be, or can plug into a wall if you want it to, and always have a way to get a professional mic recording into your Mac. That's huge. It's fantastic. So those three things, the price, the fact that it has phantom power, and the fact that you can run it as an audio interface, if that's something you've been looking for in a portable recorder, this is your product. You can't do any better than that. There are some weird things about it. The biggest problem is because it's so inexpensive, there are things about it that are pretty cheap relative to the other things. The microphone's built into it. They've got mics built into an XY pattern. It gets perfectly good stereo, but the microphones themselves aren't terribly good. And so the audio quality that you get out of them is not very good. With the Ederol, the R09, I brought it to a family party where we were playing the piano and people were singing and stuff was going on. I just put the thing up on the fireplace mantle and it got fantastic audio in the room. I mean, the piano sounded terrific. This is with the Ederol. With the Zoom, it just doesn't sound as good. There's not as much low end. It's not as rich. It doesn't get audio as well as the R09 does. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is that it's got a lot of body noise. It sounds like it's mostly hollow. And if you tap it, it actually goes dong, dong, which makes that's a problem.
That's no good.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to run interviews, if you're trying to hold it in your hand, it's just not terribly practical. And then the last thing is that the navigation on it is not as good. There are a ton of features that they built into it, some of which are very cool, like they built a compressor into it, and they built in different they can simulate different microphones with those little built-in microphones. It's all the software stuff that's built into it. But there are so many features, and the navigation is kind of clunky, so it's hard if you just want to make sure, if you walk into a place and say, oh, plug your instrument cables into the back of this thing and I'll record it. You can't really do that. You kind of have to sit there and fiddle with the controls and get everything set up. So that's the other thing.
Okay. So overall, a very versatile product, but unfortunately a couple features that aren't as high quality, but it keeps the price down.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're not super concerned about the quality of the microphones built into it, then it's a cool product. And you know, one of the things I did use it for, I haven't asked him what he thought of the audio, but Dave Hamilton and a bunch of other guys are in the Macworld All-Star Band that performs at the Macworld Expo. And we were in this club called the Red Devil Lounge, and they've got an audio board, and I just walked up there with this Zoom and I said, hey, plug the output of your mixing board into the back of this thing and I'll get the show. I'll record the band. I think it sounded great. I mean, the audio was perfectly good quality. I recorded, incidentally, all of these products can record either in uncompressed wave or in compressed MP3 format. And so it depends on how big the flash chip is. But if you're recording in even high-quality MP3 with a 1 gig or 2 gig flash memory card, you can get hours and hours and hours of audio. So anyway, I brought this thing up there and plugged into it. And it sounds great when you run stuff in through those combo jacks. It's when you use the built-in mics that the thing is kind of lame.
But since you actually used it to record everything, now we can make the All-Star Band commemorative CD, sell it on the internet, make millions, at least until whoever owns the rights for the songs comes after us.
Millions. We're going to be rich, Jeff.
I'm sure we are. I can't wait.
Just don't tell anyone about our devious plan.
My lips are sealed.
All right. And all of you, don't tell anybody either.
I'm sure their lips are sealed, too.
This is just between all of us and the rest of the internet.
Right. Our small little world.
All right. Anything else you're wondering about this? About these recorders?
You know, I think you hit all the important parts, at least the parts that I wanted to know. So that's a good thing.
All right. And I guess, of course, if you have thoughts, if you have questions that we didn't get to that you're curious about, like I said, we've been playing with these for a while, and I can answer some more questions if you've got them. You can send them to both of us at roundup@macobserver.com.
Okay, and one last quick little thing. It seems I always do this. I'm playing with a new microphone again. Today, I'm using M-Audio's Podcast Factory Kit. So if you like or don't like how I sound, let us know, and we'll do something with that information. I don't know what yet, but we'll do something.
That's right.
Okay. And that's the news. So thanks for listening to Apple Weekly Report.
And hey, first of all, our content, as always, is written by the fine staff of the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom for TMO. I wanted to talk a little bit about what's coming up.
Yes.
Jeff, you were saying you're using the Podcast Factory for Mem Audio. We will talk about that next week. The other thing that we're going to do next week is we're going to spend just a couple minutes and give you our final thoughts on microphones. We spent a lot of time on other shows talking about mics. We want to wrap all that up. So we'll do that. If you want to hear our final word on that and the setups that we think we're going to use going forward. We are also setting up a feature that I'm really excited about, another product roundup that we're going to do on point-and-shoot cameras.
I'm excited about this one, too.
Yeah, so Jeff and I are each going to get a couple of different models from a couple different companies. And rather than go specifically, this model has these features and that model has these features, and we're going to try and talk about the companies in general. This is how Nikon seems to prioritize, you know, this is who the Nikon cameras are good for. This is who the Canon cameras are good for. This is what HP does well. This is what Sony does well. So we're going to try and take a step back and just say, you know, if you're looking for a digital camera, what is the company for you to start looking at? Because there are tons of these things out there. It's a huge mess.
Yeah, and even in each company, there tend to be tons of different cameras too.
Yeah, we're actually having quite a time trying to figure out which ones to review. That's turned into a bit of a project. And then the last thing that we're putting together, I've gotten some emails from people asking about speakers and headphones and ways to listen to music and to monitor podcasts and do recording. I've got some stuff to say about that. Jeff, you've listened to a couple different things. I actually just started listening to some speakers from Audio Engine. They sent along their A5s, which you've probably heard Dave and John talk about on their podcast, or Audio Engine has actually been advertising with the Mac Observer and with the Mac Geek Gab for a while. All of that was because Misha Sakhlaropoulou, a few months back now, wrote a review where he said these things blow away everything else in their price category. I've listened to them a little bit. They're actually quite extraordinary. But we're going to talk a little bit about speakers. We're going to talk about headphones. We're going to talk about stuff that you can get in different price categories. Again, all this is kind of coming up as we roll along doing these reports.
Excellent. And if there's any products that you want us to talk about, review, look deeper into, let us know. And, of course, you can always send us an email at roundup@macobserver.com.
All right. And then, of course, that's only half of our job on this show. The first half of our job is to put the news in context. And, of course, we're going to keep doing that. That's still very much on the list. We're still going to be doing that every week whenever there's something to talk about, to explain. And so we will be here. Again, send us your comments as we're going along. And that's all I got this week.
Yeah, and speaking of the context machine, when we jump back into that, I'm going to have all kinds of interesting views on what's been going on in the Mac world lately.
All right.
So stay subscribed.
And until next week, everybody, we will see you online.